This week, Pastor Jeff Hopkins is continuing his series on the book of Colossians. We hope that this message blesses you.
We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. It should be on the screen. If it's not, everybody look back at Clinton, and it'll speed them up, I'm sure. It says, this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, it says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience joyfully, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light." Verse 13, "He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Praise be to God. Man, you could just spend a year right there. There's so much depth. And what we want to do is that we want to become a people that, one, that don't just come to Sundays and like we gather together and it's phenomenal. And we have an emotional high and then we walk out and we lose that emotional high by the time we even make it to lunch. We don't want to be those people. We want to be a church that's like, that comes here and maybe there are some emotions that get stirred. But we're stirred by the move of the Spirit. We're stirred by the truth of his love for us. And, but yet that it doesn't just like, the knowledge of his love for us doesn't just stay in our head, but yet it interrupts our lives. So that we come here today, and yeah, we might have felt something, but we want the truth of his word, the truth of his love to penetrate not just our hearts and our minds, but to interrupt our lives. So that when we walk out of here, we apply it to everyone that we come into contact with can go, "Man, I bet you were at church today." Look at Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer says, "Man, would you be filled so that you could walk in a manner worthy, so that you could bear fruit, so that you could be strengthened, so that you could have endurance, so that you could have patience. You could have it all joyfully. You've been redeemed and you have the forgiveness of our sins." Like that's not just something where we feel good about ourselves and we're like, "Man, amen, hallelujah, that's it." And we're done and we close up. It's this idea of like, we have to take this and apply it out there. You see that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. He told his disciples, he said, "If you have seen me, then you've seen the Father." We are called to be the exact representation of Christ to the world out there. The hurt, the broken, the lost does not need another Facebook post. They do not need to be beaten over the head one more time about how wrong they are. They do not need one more boycott. What they need is men and women of God to walk out the truth of his word, to reflect the character of Jesus Christ, and for them to go, "Man, I didn't know that I wanted it until I saw it in you. I always thought Jesus was this person that didn't like me, that hated me, that was ashamed of me. But I see him in you, and that's not what I see." And that doesn't come from emotions. That doesn't come from being, "Woohoo, great, yeah." And we walk out the door and someone cuts us off and then we're done. It comes by allowing the truth of his word to penetrate our heart and our mind, and it interrupts our lives. It says, "Everything that I thought that I knew, it's done and gone. Everything that I have planned for this next week, I'm going to have to change some things up." And so what we want to be able to do is we want to say, look at this. We want to be the exact representation of Jesus Christ. Today, I almost looked up there because I normally have a main idea that's up there, but we don't this because of Clinton this week. And so our main idea today, Clinton's about to walk out, you know, because I haven't come in here twice as long as you have and I'm out. Today's main idea is that we can take difficult circumstances and people and turn them into grace and to glory. I'm going to say it a lot of times so you'll get it, but we can take difficult circumstances and people and turn them into grace and glory. Yes. Yes. Look at this verse 11 right here. This is where we want to focus on. being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience joyfully. It's this word, it says that you're, it's Paul's prayer for this church, and he says, I pray that you would be strengthened, that you are being strengthened with all power according to his might. Like this word strengthened, being strengthened. You have to understand, like, it doesn't mean like, hey, I came to church and I'm filled, and I got saved and I'm filled with his power, and then I'm done and I'm gone and I never have to worry about that again. Being filled means that we are constantly being filled. There's that story of Jesus. He was walking through the crowds, and it says that the crowds began to push up on him real tight. I think it's in Luke chapter 8. The crowds began to push on him. And it says that this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years reaches out and touches his robe. And all the people, Jesus says, stop, wait. Somebody touched me. And his disciples are like, Lord, look at the crowd. Everyone, they're all around you. And you know what he said? He said, no, I felt the power leave. Right. He turns to the woman and she says it was her. And he said, well, your faith has made you well. But he felt the power leave out of him. It's this idea that we need to be strengthened. But it's not just a one-time thing. Like, okay, hey, I got saved and I'm done. Have all that I need. No, it's this constant to be refilled. Because as we pour out, we're going to need to be refilled. And the purpose is that we are pouring out. We are not filled so that we can say, hey, look at how full I am. Look at how much I've got. The purpose is to be filled so that we can pour it all right back out, so that we can run back to the Father and say, Father, I need you to fill me up again today. Everything that you gave me yesterday, it's gone. Your kids ever do that? With money, just mine maybe, or just me, even when I was a kid. Like, next day, hey, Dad, I need money. Hey, what about yesterday? I gave you money yesterday. It's gone. It's like, where did it go? I don't know, but it's gone. It's all gone. Like, that's how we were to be to the Father. Like, we need to come to him and say, Dad, I need more. He's like, what did you do yesterday? Where did it go? You know, so like we're being filled with all strength and all power according to his might. That word strength means that we are empowered to do it. This idea of strength means to be empowered with all power. That the word says that we have all that we need for life and for godliness. That we have been strengthened with all power and might. So when Paul is praying for the church, they're sitting here, they're reading the letter, and he's saying, I'm praying that you would be filled and strengthened with all power and all might according to him. He's saying, I need you to be strengthened. You need to be empowered to do all that he's called you to do. To be strengthened is saying to recognize that I have everything that I need for life and godliness. The power, the Spirit of God lives in each and every one of us. If you're a Christ follower, the Spirit of God lives in you. Like that's the power that he's saying. Hey, you're being filled, you're being strengthened by the power of his might. Like I think so many times we don't give ourselves enough credit. Now we can think too highly of ourselves, which I do a lot of times, think too highly of myself. But like, when I realize that I have the Spirit of God in me, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me, then when I'm saying to be strengthened, it's not like, oh man, brother, I don't know if I can do that. But Jeff, you're asking me to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm an introvert. I don't like people, you know? I don't like to talk to people. And it's easier for you because you're an introvert or extrovert. It's like, no, no, no. I have the Spirit of God living in me. I'm being strengthened. I'm being empowered to accomplish everything that he has for me, not by my power, not by my might, but by his alone. Paul's saying, hey, I need you to be strengthened and filled with his power. We have to stop living defeated lives. We have to stop playing the victim mentality, thinking that we're hopeless and we're helpless, right? When something comes up in our way and in our face, and you're like, oh, well, what else, Lord? I can't take any more. Or there's a sin, a temptation, and it's like, oh, I'll just have to give in to it. Because our worry, here's a bill that I don't know how I'm going to pay. Instead of just trusting him, we live into this lifestyle that goes, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay for that. Right when I think I'm getting on my feet, here comes another one. We have to quit living this defeated mentality. We have to quit thinking that we're helpless and we're hopeless. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. Everything that you need, everything that you're going to face today and tomorrow, the next day and from here on out, you already have. He's already given it to you. This book, Paul was writing this letter to combat a couple of different bad teachings that were out there. And some of the teachings were to look to something deep within yourself, right? That, like, if you just find something deep within yourself, it's not God, but something else, there's where you'll find your power. Or there was this other thought, and it's called like humanism, where it's just me, right? Like it's in me, and I am good, I am strong, I am mighty, and I just have to like manifest it myself, and I can make it happen because I am good. Paul's saying, hey, I pray that you would be filled, that you'd be strengthened with all power according to him. You see that the word says, and so don't get offended at me, but that we're not good. Jesus is good. Him in us is what makes us good. What we have to be careful about is that when we go about these things, it's not in our own strength and our own might. We lean on him. So many times we step out on our own, or we go and we're gonna defeat something, we're gonna overcome something, and we think that we can just buckle down and take care of it. Self will make it happen. We can just white knuckles, boot lace, just let's go. And really the key is in John 15, he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do no good thing. But if you remain in me and I'll remain in you, and then anything that you ask for the Father, he'll give you. When we're strengthened by the power of God, we receive understanding, we receive peace, it settles us, it gives us hope. You have everything that you need. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to go searching deep for it. He's there. Everything that you're going to encounter today, tomorrow and the next day, it's already been defeated. We get to walk in the victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our main idea today is that we can take difficult circumstances and people and we can turn them into grace and into glory. The key to the Christian walk, to the Christian faith, is great endurance and patience, joyfully. When you look at these two words, when you study out these words, endurance talks about our relationship with people. And the word patience talks about our circumstances. So when he's saying, I pray that you'd be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance with people and that you would be patient in all circumstances, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Right? So endurance is talking about people, our relationships with people, and patience is talking about our circumstances. That's what today's main idea talks about, both circumstances and people. We have to take what's given to us, steward it well, and then turn it into grace and into glory. Everything that comes at you is an opportunity for you to steward it well, to turn what could be bad into grace and into glory. Endurance, this word means steadfastness, perseverance, long-suffering. Endurance that does not retaliate. This is the key right here to this endurance. This gets down to the base of this word right here. It is endurance that does not retaliate, because remember, endurance is talking about people. We all have difficult people in our lives, right? If you don't, then you're the difficult person in someone else's life, right? Like, if that's just how that works. Or you might be standing up here and I might be the difficult person in a lot of people's lives, okay? Just saying. Getting a lot of looks from that side of the room over there. It's all family too. Calm down. It means to be long-tempered. We have 8 kiddos, and Evelyn is our youngest by, I don't know what, 12 minutes or something. 3 minutes felt a lot longer than that for me, at least, probably not, whatever. And she's number 8. Her and Milo are twins, and Evelyn, we always talk about Milo and Evelyn. They are like, we call them Milo and Eddie, and they're very comparable to like a dog and a cat. Milo is this loyal, I mean, he loves, he'd sit by you, be tickled, like he's got it. And Evelyn, she's as loyal as the last meal, you know, like she's like a cat. Like, hey, if that next meal ain't there, she's out. She's done. She'll move on. And that's probably why she's very cute, because we keep her around. But man, Evelyn, like, you know, Milo's go-to is sadness, right? When there's like, when something bad happens to him, it's sadness. And he's just like, oh man. You know, when something bad happens to Evelyn, to Ed, man, it is anger, right? Like it just boom right there, you know, like you push somebody, because, you know, inevitably kids get pushed down and hit or whatever. And, you know, if Milo gets pushed down, it's like, oh man. So he has to run and cry, and he recounts all the boo-boos that he has. And then, you know, if Evelyn accidentally gets bumped into, you better watch your back for like 7 days, because she's looking, she's planning, she's scouting. All right. And so That what we're talking about, this idea of endurance, is to be able to endure without retaliation, to be able to relate to one another and not retaliate when people wrong you. That's why I'm saying that the key to the Christian walk, the Christian faith, is endurance and patience, because I'll tell you what, there's people out there, man, and they are easy to get us offended, right? Like, I mean, they know what buttons to push. They know when to push and how to push. And even when they don't, they know, like, they just magically do it anyways. But people are tough. And so what we have to do is that we have to be able to learn how to take these difficult people. And maybe they're not even difficult people, but maybe it's just people that are offending you, that are causing turmoil in your life. And then we take that as an opportunity, instead of to retaliate, to actually turn that into an opportunity of grace. Our goal is to, and our mission statement is that we exist to display and declare the glory of God. We want to be a people that no matter what you say about me, no matter what you do to me, I'm going to respond in a way that displays and declares the glory of God. Why is that crucial? Because the world is out there, and they're watching how we're going to respond to things. And man, if they look at the church, isn't it easy to go, man, they have done a poor job. Jesus was being handed over to suffering and to death. The soldiers come and take him. Peter pulls out his sword, cuts off the ear, and Jesus says, put it away. Jesus is being, like, going to be crucified. And he says, hey, what do you have to say for yourself? And he didn't answer. He didn't retaliate. At any point, he could have called it all off. And I mean, we get one bad thing at the Olympics and we just lose our mind, don't we? But what if we responded in such a way that we didn't retaliate? That we stood firm on the truth of his word, but that didn't push people away, but that actually drew them in. We need to use these relationships as an opportunity to show love, grace, and mercy, to demonstrate the love that Christ has for us. Because you see that you can be like, yeah, but Jeff, man, that's bad. Yeah, it is. But it says, while I was still a sinner, while I was yet an enemy of God, Jesus Christ died for me. Man, Jeff deserves to be wiped off the face of the earth. I mean, probably 7 times daily, honestly. You know, just. But his great love for us and these relationships, these people that are in our lives, it's an opportunity to go, the love that I've been shown, the love that I've been, that's been poured out into me, I'm going to now pour it out into you. Where, yes, the world says it's okay to eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It's okay to do that, to strike back. But yet we're going to give this as an opportunity to show love, grace, and mercy. It's so easy nowadays to just write people off, isn't it? You can ghost them, go no contact with them, just say, hey, you're done, you're dead to me. But people are in your life to for you to teach them or for them to teach you something. That difficult person that's in your life, they're there for a reason. Maybe it's for them to show you something. Maybe it's for you to show them something. You know, I talk about this guy at work with me. His name's Juan. Man, Juan, and he just knows how to, like, just get me going. Like, man. And I find, like, every time I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm good. I got it. And he's like, all right. And then Juan will call. I'm like, hey, Juan. He's like, hey, I want you to do this. I was like, okay. All right, so make sure you do this. I was like, yeah, well, all right, hey, can you make sure though? I'm like, Juan, yes. I said I'm going to do it. I'll take care of it. And then he'll call back like 10 minutes later. Hey, did you do it? Yes, Juan. Okay, because I'm looking at it. I think you did it. I'm like, I know I did it, Juan. Like, so like there's, it's Juan. And it's like, what are you doing? And so I'm going, Lord, what does he need to teach me? What can I teach him so that we can move on, right? We both learn our lesson and then Juan can go his way and I can go my way and we can glory your name again, right? But like, there's obviously something that I need to learn from Juan or that Juan needs to see in me. It's so easy to write people off. So easy to just say, I'm not going to answer his call anymore. So easy to just badmouth him. I mean, maybe I kind of am doing that now, but not really, right? In a negative way, but honestly, it's how we respond to those situations that will show him the love that's in me. You know, there's a couple that's at our church. They started coming to our church because they saw how one of our members was being talked bad about. Behind her back, to her face. And the person that went to church here responded with love, grace, and mercy. And the couple that's coming now came here, not just came here, but came to church because they saw how this person responded. Those relationships are so valuable. You never know who's watching you. How you treat the difficult people shows a lot. Because man, is it not easy to treat people who love you, treat them well, right? I mean, when someone loves you, you're like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You're my people, right? And those people that are extra, you're like, man, I don't have time for that. But how we handle those relationships, one shows is the love that Christ has for me, is that fully formed, not just in my mind, but in my heart, and has it interrupted my life? Like, do I know that it's so true that I'm willing to go places that I don't even want to go with this person? We were, and so many times those lessons that one, either they're going to teach us or we're going to teach them, So many times it's going to come through these difficult circumstances. It's very rarely going to be a lesson where you get to sit down and open up the Bible. It's going to be where you sit down and open up your life, and the Bible's going to come out and they're going to see it. We were talking before service, and Jacob, where is Jacob? He's over there. Jacob's our youth pastor. He led worship today. Not bad for a youth pastor leading worship, right? Jacob was just sharing that he has started running again, which is obvious. You know, we can tell. We see you, man. And he started running, and this time of year, he was saying, sharing that there's a lot of caterpillars out on the road. And I wouldn't know, you know, but apparently if you run, you're seeing caterpillars right now. And he said he felt like the Lord was saying, don't step on the caterpillars. So now, I mean, as if running's not hard enough, now you're trying to avoid caterpillars. And he said that the Lord began to teach him, and he said, sometimes we do that with people that we step on caterpillars before they've been able to transform into butterflies. No, that's Jacob, youth pastor, saying that. That's not me. But what if we actually viewed this relationship that says, man, for me, it's Juan, and you probably have someone in your mind. What if I said, man, I would hate to handle Juan in such a way that crushes him before he ever gets to become who he's supposed to be? Is that not a different way to look at it? It doesn't make it easier tomorrow. But with that right perspective, I can put up with a little bit more of Juan. And y'all can put up with a little bit more of me. Patience. The main idea is that we can take these difficult circumstances and people and turn them into grace and into glory. Patience is talking about circumstances. It means to be unswerved, to stay strong, to don't give up. It means to remain under difficulties without giving in. To remain under difficulties without giving in. It actually means that second part, when you go to the Greek word, it's that second part, like patience is two words combined. And that second word is that word meno, which we talked about, like it's in John chapter 15, all throughout there, right? Remain in me. It's that word meno, and it means to dwell. Patience means to dwell in difficulties without giving in. Now, that's not very encouraging, because that means that I'm going to have to stay in difficulties. We've been preached a cheap gospel that says, hey, give your life to Jesus, and man, all your problems will go away. And I don't know about you, but I gave my life to the Lord, and it got a little more difficult. And when I'm like, oh, there we are, Lord, all right, then it gets difficult again. But that word patience means that we can remain under the difficulties without caving in. The difficult situations will not be avoidable. I mean, you're going to walk out of here. You might not even make it out of here before you encounter a difficult situation. But to have patience goes, that's a difficult situation, but I can stay right here and not cave in. But we have to have the proper perspective. You see, because when difficult situations come our way, so many times we want to say, why? Why me? And what we're really saying is, I wish you would have given this to somebody else. But with the right perspective, we can be able to withstand. Because when we talk about patience, patience is resting on His strength, on His glory, and on His might. So many times we think of patience as just this passive word and passive verb, but it's actually not passive at all. When you begin to look at it, it's this idea that I can step outside of this and get out from underneath this on my own. But actually, I'm going to tell myself no, and I'm going to stay here because this is where the Lord has me. It's so easy to walk out and go, oh no, I'm going to avoid that. avoid that situation altogether, but to actually say, you know what, I'm going to stay here because this is where the Lord has me. We got to have the right perspective of difficulties. The key to the Christian walk in faith is great endurance and patience joyfully. Here's why. Why is that the key? Because one, it shows that our trust is in Him. When we choose not to retaliate, when someone offends us, when someone insults us, instead of insulting them back, instead of getting revenge on them, we say, Father, I trust you. I trust you that you know the truth about me. I trust you that you have the best for them and the best for me. So many times when difficult people and difficult circumstances come our way, we tend to run away from the Father. Because we say, why would you ever do that? How could your loving Father do that? Why is this happening to me? And we run away from Him. But when we allow ourselves to be strengthened with His glory, with His might, and we allow Him to sow into our lives patience and endurance, instead of running from the Father, we run to the Father. Penelope, she's six. Is that right, baby? Yeah, Penelope, she is six. She ran and jumped on the couch, and Evelyn was underneath a blanket watching an iPad and just like bonked the heads. You know, you're like, oh man, that one hurts. And Evelyn, she responded well. She actually didn't get upset. But Penny was embarrassed and she was hurt and she ran into her room and I tried to follow her to comfort her and see what was wrong. She didn't want any of it at that time. But how many times do we do that? When we're hurt, when we're lost, when we're broken, we run away from the Father instead of running to Him. Patience and endurance, it produces spiritual maturity. You will not get where you're supposed to go. You will not be who the Lord has destined you to be without ever experiencing difficult circumstances or difficult people. It just will not happen. My brother, me and him are a little bit different. My kids still have never beat me in any game. Like if we're gonna play Go Fish, Penny's losing every time. Like, not gonna happen, right? Soccer, we play soccer. Me and Ben are normally on a team. Noah and Max, they've never beaten us. It's been like 10 years since Ben was like two, you know, and like we've just beaten them every time, and. Ben was like, all right, I'm not going to be on dad's team and I'll beat him. And Lauren was like, nope. He's like, mom, I'm better than him. She's like, you might be, but dad will win at all costs. It's true. Torn ACL, don't matter. I'm going to win. My brother is the opposite. Some would say kind and loving. They let their kids win. You know, they play Mario Kart and their kids win. I'm like, we're not doing that. Get out of here. Well, it got so bad that anytime Tyler had lost, it was a big ordeal. So what they did is one day they went and they did one day of all the games. And they weren't letting Tyler win one game. They had to break it out of them, you know? And so, I mean, they played Uno, they played Skip Bo, they played Mario Kart, they played everything. And Tyler lost every game and he threw a fit every game. But you know what? After that, losing wasn't so bad. There are times where you will not get where you're supposed to go if you never have to endure a hardship or difficulty. That is where the truth matters. That is where you go, oh, I believe God is good. I believe God is for me and not against me. I believe I'm loved. And then you run into a hardship and that's when you go, okay, yeah, I just walked out what I thought. I believed it, but I hadn't experienced it in a while. And from that moment on, now you never have to doubt Him. But if you always win, if it never goes wrong, then the first time you ever lose, you'll run away from Him again. Let me read this out of Romans, because here's where it talks about that, just so you know I'm not just making any of this up. Somebody laughed too hard on that one. Romans 5 says, verse 3 says, and not only that, see how quick Clinton is. Romans 5, 3, it says, and not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Without those things, character will not be produced. Hope will not be produced in us. Because if we never have anything to look forward to, then we never have hope. What you produce from that scripture, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Why is patience and endurance so important? Because we bear fruit from those things. Endurance and character, hope. Because here's the key. The fruit that you produce is the fruit that you will feed yourself and your family. Your coworkers, your church. My kids eat of the fruit that I produce. If I'm producing unforgiveness, bitterness, shame, guilt, envy, strife, they see that out of my life, right? I'm bearing that fruit from the example of my life. Then what they're doing is they're partaking of that, because that's all that they have to eat from. But if I'm in here producing the fruit of the Spirit, if I'm producing love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, right? By the way that I'm living out, but through patience and through endurance, and they see that I walk through tough times, they see that I walk with difficult people, but they see that it produces character and hope, then the fruit that they get to eat of is good fruit. We get to reflect Christ. This is so important. Patience and endurance is so important, because that's how we reflect Christ. It says that God is slow to anger, full of love. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Not for the obligation set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was tempted in every way, but he was without sin. So when we talk about patience, that we can, you know, live under difficult circumstances and never cave. Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I were tempted, but yet he never gave in. He lived under the difficult circumstance, but he never caved. He ate with Judas on the night that he was handed over to suffering and to death, on the night that he was betrayed. He welcomed Judas at the table. Man, how many people, if we would have known, if Jeff would have known that, you wouldn't have been at my table. Yet while we were yet still sinners and enemies of God, he died for us. Patience and endurance are the key to the Christian walk. Because it shows where our trust is. It produces spiritual maturity. We can bear fruit and we can reflect Jesus Christ, not just to our family, but to the broken and hurt world out there. Three things, right? What are we going to do with this today? This message cannot just be fill our head with like knowledge of like, okay, patience and endurance, we got it. How are we going to do it? No, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we do this. The first way is to be in Christ. It's not, it says right there in that verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're not going to walk out of here, start driving to lunch, and someone's going to turn off of Advance Road right in front of you, and you're not going to see it because there's a hill, and you're going to get mad. Like it, in your own strength, your own ability, you're going to be mad at that. The way to do it is, one is to be in Christ. John 15, most roads lead back to John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. The only way to do this is to stay connected to the vine. As soon as the branch goes off and does his own thing, he loses the power and the source of life. Stay connected to the vine because it's by his power. Number two, slow down. The greatest enemy to patience and endurance is a sprint. I mean, sometimes we just have to slow down. I was telling my wife this story that I was reading about this guy. I believe his name was Chris Young. He was an Australian farmer. And in 1983, he got the idea he was going to go run an ultra marathon. He's 61 years old in 1983. He's going to go run an ultra marathon from Melbourne to Sydney, 544 miles. He's going to go run the race, 61 years old. He shows up in his overalls and his work boots. And they were asking him, they said, how old are you? And he said, 61. And they said, do you really think you got a shot at this? He goes, I live on a farm that has 2,000 sheep and we have over 2,000 acres. We don't have any horses and we don't have any tractors. When a big storm is coming, I have to run and gather up all the sheep. And sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days, but I get them all back safely. They're like, okay, it's a little bit different. You know, everyone else there is under the age of 30, prime shape of their life. They set off on the race. And I'm trying to remember what it's called. They have a name for his run. It was kind of like a shuffle. And I mean, man, in the first couple of hours, he's so far behind. Nighttime comes and the runners, you know, it's 544 miles. It takes more than one day. Or at least it takes them. I bet I could do it. But it takes those guys. The runners stop and they sleep 6-7 hours. Well, the farmer didn't know that you're supposed to do that. He just keeps running. First night, he gains on them significantly. Second, third night, he passes them because they keep sleeping. They wake up and he's closer. And they're like, how's he doing this? He ends up winning the race. He beats all the runners by 10 hours. That was the closest person. 10 hours. It's just this little shuffle in life. Sometimes we have to just slow down. Man, the greatest enemy to patience and endurance is speed. Yes. You got to slow down so that you can be able to see everything. There's so many things that you miss when you're going too fast. When I get home from work, there's lots of kids and things are going on and kids are, you just imagine. If you imagine it, multiply it times 7 and that's where we are, all right? I mean, there's just cats are being carried around by their ears and it's just bad. I saw a cup of spray paint. I guess Milo had filled up a cup of spray paint that he found that I probably was supposed to put up. And, you know, it's like, hey, Dad, I pour this on the ants. I'm like, okay, whatever. But what I do is because what can happen is I can come home from a hectic, busy day of working with Juan. And, you know, you show up and thank goodness I have an hour and a half drive home so I can just, like, decompress. But what I do is when I pull up to my house, I sit in my truck for just about 10, 15 seconds. Because when I open that door, my kids are going to need to see Dad. That's right. They don't care how bad Juan's been to Dad all day. They don't care what Dad's had to go through. When I show up, they need Dad. So I have to sit in my truck for about 10, 15 seconds. I have to just breathe and I have to just say a quick prayer, Father. I want to walk into this home and I want to be who they want me to be. And I normally do pretty good, but then every other day, this one right here will stand behind the door and scare me and I lose it on him. He loves to scare me behind the door and I lose it in an instant. But what we have to do is we have to I get kind of mad sometimes, don't I? And that just makes them do it more. Because I'm just, you know, because you've prayed. You're like, all right, here we go. You open the door. It's like, boom. And I always have like 19 things in my hands. Gosh, it makes me mad. But so many times what we have to do is we just have to stop and slow down. Because I determine what kind of house I walk into. I can be flustered from the job, from the drive home, from AC not working in the drive. Like, I can be flustered from all of that stuff, and I can walk into my house, and that's what I'm going to carry into that house. But when we learn about patience and endurance, we can slow down. We can breathe, and then we get to determine the atmosphere of the people around us. And the last one is, we have to listen to the voice of the Father. There's so many voices out there right now. Patience and endurance, that's what the Father's teaching us. But the world is saying, no, you don't have to do that. There's a better way. There's a quicker way. There's a more cost-effective way. That doesn't make sense. You just need to do it our way. Here's all the wisdom of the world. What we have to do is we just have to slow down. We have to listen to the voice of the Father, because He will lead us and guide us. We can take difficult circumstances and people and turn them into grace and into glory. And that's what the lost and the hurt and the broken world needs to see from us. Amen. I'm going to pray real fast, and then we're going to have some announcements. Father, we just come before you. And endurance and patience, that's not words we enjoy sometimes. Father, would you teach us? Would you begin to just pour it out into us? Would we learn how to steward that well, Father? So that we can reflect you to the lost and the broken world. So that we can be the perfect image of you and the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.